So here's the first question. Do I look any different? Because this is my first time at Cove as a grandfather. So I'm wiser than I've ever been. Okay. I'm more caring, sympathetic, loving, because I'm now a granddad. So our son Josh and his wife Florrie welcomed our grandson into the world on the 20th of September. He was a week early. And George Samuel Azariah Bishop Hall. George Samuel Azariah. George, because of George Muller. I don't know if anybody knows or heard the stories of George Muller. In the 19th century, wasn't he doing stuff? Preacher, teacher, but more known for the way that he trusted God for provision. And one of the things that has been very much central in my son and daughter-in-law's life is that in the ministry that they're part of, they just trust God. Trust God. And they wanted to ensure that their son was one who trusts God. Samuel, because he heard God's voice. So we've got I have a grandson who's named after one who trusts God and one who hears God. And Azariah just means helped by God. So powerful name. Yes. Powerful name. So our grandson is here. And so far on my phone, I've got 134 photographs of him. So if you'd like to join me afterwards with coffee, I'll go through each one of them with you. So I'm very happy to talk about my grandson. And as you were enjoying yourself last night here, I was just down the road at Farnham, and my son and daughter-in-law were actually leading worship at a youth event that they're part of. And it was the first time that they handed their grandson over to somebody else to look after and feed and change. And so my wife and I were there doing the grandparent stuff. For some of you, you've been there and done it for years, I know, but it's still a novelty for me. Harvest was one of those things that used to happen year by year, and I think most of us don't have anything really connected with our food production, and, you know, we just go down to Sainsbury's or Tesco's or Morrison's or other Cove people, Waitrose, Marks and Spencer's, you know. Until there was a point in time when I felt that I was going to be involved in farming, and I got a job on a farm, and then I went off to agricultural college, my first degree's in agriculture, and I was going to be a farm manager. The one thing about it is that it, in the end, changed my view, and I came out of farming. Was the repetition. It's just doing the same stuff again and again. You plow a field, you harrow a field, you roll a field, you drill or sow the seeds, and then you're fertilizing, and then it grows, and then you harvest it, and then you're plowing again. And it's like, I felt exactly the same when I was working in a dairy. We had 220 cows on the farm where I worked, and every day you'd bring them in, you'd milk them in the morning, they'd mess the yard, they'd mess the parlour, you're washing down, you're scrubbing down, you're making everything hygienic, and then in the afternoon you do it again. And I said, oh, I don't want to go round and round. And then I've become the leader of a local church. And we have seasons. And part of our season is that we come to this time when we say, God, thank you. And harvest is a brilliant opportunity for us to stop for a moment and say, actually, We're so blessed, aren't we? God provides, and we are recipients of his goodness. And I suppose now I'm going to be, I'm 58 next week.
58 next week. My birthday's Halloween. So if any time you've got a problem with celebrating Halloween, just send me a card. And just, you know, I love Halloween because it's my birthday. And I always think to myself, well, maybe the Lord was very clever in the way that he brought things around and brought me into the world. Because the one thing that I recognize is as I live for Jesus and exalt him, I am 100% against the enemy and his plans and his schemes to derail and to take people away from Jesus. So, a day that is usually set aside for non-godly stuff is the day that I came into the world, but it's given me an amazing opportunity in my life to dedicate my life to honouring and loving on Jesus. I want you to think of something for a moment. Here's the situation. You're going to travel, okay? You've moved into the waiting room, you've gone through the ticketing section, you've gone through security, done sorted out your baggage, and you're waiting in the last lounge, and then you hear your flight called, and you go down that funny corridor, and then you get into this metal tube, and you find your seat, and you realize you didn't think you had long legs until you get into an aeroplane, and you realize, my goodness, how long are my legs? And you settle down and you sit in there and you sit for a while, and this thought comes over your mind as you're sat there in this tube with hundreds of other people who you don't know, and you look out to the side and you see out the window there's this thing called a wing. And do you realise that the fuel tank is in the wing? So the fuel for the plane is in the wings. So these metal tubes that are going to take us on a journey are full of this aviation fuel. And there was a point in time when people used to smoke on aeroplanes. Can you remember? People used to smoke on aeroplanes. You get into an aeroplane now, and you look up, and there's the fasten your seatbelt sign, and there's a little sign that says, a little image that says, no smoking. And I used to think to myself, because I'm only 58, so it all happened before I ever got on an aeroplane. But once upon a time, people were allowed to smoke on planes. But you're not allowed to smoke on planes anymore. Rightly so. Do you remember, or does anybody remember, ever travelling in a car without seatbelts? Really? I remember a story of my parents-in-law when they were talking about going away on holiday with my wife when she was a little girl and her two brothers. And Kevin at that time, which was her youngest brother, was asleep. And the family were heading off to get a ferry to go over to France. And they were going at night, so it was cheaper. So they were heading down from Andover down to Portsmouth to get the ferry. And they'd taken Kevin, the baby, out of his cot, and they put him on the parcel shelf in the back of the car, and then drove down Portsmouth with Kevin asleep on the parcel shelf of the car. No seatbelts, small child, parcel shelf. I think they used to have accidents back in those days. But now you wouldn't dream of getting in a car without a seatbelt. It's just one of those things that we've now moved to that place where it's a non-negotiable.
It's a non-negotiable. You don't smoke on planes. You don't get in a car without putting a seatbelt on. And it's interesting with David's notices this morning, but certainly about the assisted dying bill that will be going through Parliament. And as he said, something may be passed that aligns itself with our understanding, but it's the start of a slippery slope. And things become more liberal and they change, and what we started out expecting is not what we got at the very end. And we've got to be careful. We don't smoke on aeroplanes. We don't go into cars without seatbelts and strapping everything in. And one of the things that I've come to understand is that my car has an ISOFIX system for the car seat. My son checked that my car has the right system. And I'm just thinking to myself, I wonder if I didn't have it, whether I would be expected to change my car. Good old George. Things change. Patricia read for us from Matthew. And in Matthew's Gospel, she read these words from Matthew 6. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And as much as life changes and the way that we do things changes, and things that we thought were normal and natural, smoking on a plane, driving without seatbelt, all of that has changed to where we are today. But one thing that we must remember that never changes is Jesus, who reminds us that we are to seek him first, to make him our priority, to put him as number one, to make sure that he is in the driving seat. This verse here in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The priority is on him. It's all about Jesus. Now, the thing about it is there's a problem, you see, because sometimes your Jesus doesn't look like my Jesus, and my Jesus doesn't look like your Jesus. And I wonder whether you may have an inflatable Jesus. Let me share with you my inflatable Jesus. You weren't expecting this morning, were you? This is inflatable Jesus. He's got a bit of a lean on him, look. Stand there, Jesus. The scripture says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And I bring out inflatable Jesus because sometimes we make Jesus in our image rather than allow him to be the Jesus that the Bible reminds us that he is. Sometimes we decrease the size of Jesus so that he fits in with us rather than us fitting in with him. Sometimes we make our Jesus an inflatable Jesus so that he's manageable. And therefore, he'll do what we want rather than us needing to do what he wants. This is what Paul writes to the church in Rome. He says this. He said in Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. What Paul is saying is that people try and make God fit. And the thing is, God doesn't fit. We are meant to align ourselves with him rather than him having to align himself with us. You see, inflatable Jesus, we're in control. Real Jesus requires our surrender. And we have to stop for every now and then and just say, am I following inflatable Jesus, or am I following the Jesus that I read about in God's word? Listen to these words that are found in Luke chapter 9. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. You see, real Jesus demands sacrifice. Real Jesus demands us to align ourselves with him rather than expect him to align with us. The trouble is, though, in the 30 odd years that I've been in ministry, I've found a significant number of people who like to keep Jesus on a shelf, like to bring him out every now and then, high days and holidays, Easter and Christmas, harvest even, but they don't really want him to control them. And we either sacrifice and give him our all. Well, here's the phrase, isn't it? If Jesus isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. If Jesus isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. What's your Jesus like? The thing is, we are told in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Are we pursuing him? Do we know what he's like? Do we know what his call is over us? And the way we do that is by spending time in his word, by being in fellowship with one another, by sharing together and looking, God, where's your finger? What's your fingerprints on? The Operation Agri video this morning, what we see in that amazing project today on this Harvest Sunday is a work that just looks like Jesus. It requires investment and sacrifice. It requires people to go the extra mile thinking of others rather than themselves. And that's what I love about our harvest gatherings. We stop thinking about ourselves and say, what little can we give to bring about a change for someone else? That looks like Jesus. It doesn't look like inflatable Jesus. It looks like real Jesus. Inflatable Jesus, so another thing to mention here this morning, is he lacks presence. You see, the thing about inflatable Jesus is, I can walk with inflatable Jesus, and we can go about Jesus sort of stuff, and I could be over here having a little chat, and then, I've gone back over here, and Jesus is no longer with me. He's back there. Psalm 115 responds, it says this, that they have mouths, but they cannot speak, and eyes, but they cannot see. Inflatable Jesus, the inflatable Jesus that we build in our own minds, has no real presence. Whereas for each and every one of us who've come to know the real Jesus, we recognize that he is alive. He is with us. The scripture that we all know so well from the end of Matthew 28 is that he will be with us how much? Always. Not sometimes, not every now and then, but always. The thing is, real Jesus can't be left. You don't have to go hunting for him, because he is always with us. Have you ever found yourself in places where you're really pleased that you left Jesus behind? Sometimes we find ourselves in places where maybe Jesus really would not be pleased that we are. And I think for myself, as I was even driving here this morning, and I had that problem, I don't know if you've ever had it before, when you have not left enough time to get to the place that you should do on time. Have you ever done that before? You know, we know what time we should be there, we know the length of time that it takes to get there, but the time that we've left is not the time that it takes to get there. Therefore, we have to do something. And sometimes that means that we drive a little bit quicker. But this morning, as I was thinking, oh, well, I just have to put my foot down on the motorway, I had to take on board the fact that I'm going to talk about the fact that Jesus is with me always. And the rain conditions on the motorway meant that travelling above the legal speed limit was not an option. I even remember somebody saying, you know, Dave, whenever you break the speed limit, the angels leave you. And I think, well, I need angels, and I want them to stay with me. And I even remember when I was in my Christian life, the guy who led me to the Lord was an American. And after a number of months of me trying to walk with Jesus as a new believer, I was on the telephone to him, and those were in the days when it cost a fortune to ring the States. But I remember talking to him on the telephone and saying about my struggles in my ongoing discipleship journey and living out what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And he says, well, hey, come on over. Why don't you come and stay with me over here in the States? So I bought a flight and told some friends at the church that I was going to that I was going to go over to America, and I was going to go for about 3 months. And I remember somebody saying to me, and it was somebody in a Bible study group that said to me, Dave, have you prayed about this? And I said, well, I don't really think I've prayed much about it, but I might have done, you know, sort of, you know, God bless what I'm doing, type prayer. And then he said this is a really weird comment. He said, because if God has not approved of this trip, when you get on that plane, you leave him behind. What rubbish theology. I can only say that now because, you know, I did 4 years of theological training and now I don't know how many years now as pastor in churches. The truth of the matter is, even when we do not do the things that God desires for us to do because they are the best for us, he never leaves us. He is with us always. Even though I go through valleys as well as mountaintop experiences, he never leaves. And just as I've left inflatable Jesus, can you feel the presence around you? It's quite powerful, isn't it? I've left inflatable Jesus with you. Real Jesus, he is with you always. And it's good to remember, you can't leave him behind. He is with you always. Which also reminds me that because Jesus is with me, I can ask him at any point in time to lead me and to guide me. I can ask him for the gift of discernment and knowledge and understanding. And when I come to crossroads situations and I don't know where to go, I can call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because he is with me always. Inflatable Jesus, you can decide, well, I'm going to be going to this situation, and I don't think that's a Jesus situation, so I don't think I'll take him there. Or I won't get involved in that. I won't let Jesus sit on the sofa as I watch this on the TV, or I won't let Jesus sit beside me when I'm zooming around on the internet looking at this and this. I can remember meeting with a young man who had a problem with the stuff that he was watching on the internet, the places that he was going. And his desire was to walk with integrity and purity, but he recognised that he had these temptations. And I said to him, it was really simple, I said, when you pull your chair up to sit
before the computer, get another chair and put that chair beside you. So that when you're sat on the computer, you've got a chair beside you, reminding you that Jesus is with you. I have this same situation when I get into the car. Now I have to change sides now because you can drive on this side. But the other day I had a phone call, an early morning phone call. I do some chaplaincy work at the hospital. And a phone call from the switchboard saying there's a end of life situation happening and they require a chaplain. So I get up, I put my chaplain shirt on, put my chaplaincy badge on to get me into all the wards, and I head off to hospital. And the thing is, on my journey to hospital, I just remind myself that Jesus is with me. I don't know what I'm going to face, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I know that Jesus is with me. He's not the Jesus you can leave. He's the Jesus who says, I'll always stay. That's the real Jesus. And it's brilliant because I go into so many situations and I think to myself, I have got no idea what I'm going to do. And God, in his goodness, always helps me. So, the real Jesus is a presence Jesus who you can never ever leave. He's not someone that you bring out when you feel like it. He's somebody who's with you always. And the last thing I want to say is the inflatable Jesus, he can't transform you. He won't change you. You see, inflatable Jesus is stagnant. He's powerless. I have to put air into him to make him come alive, as it were. But the real Jesus, he brings transformation in our lives. This is what 2 Timothy reminds us. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Having a relationship with inflatable Jesus, a Jesus that we can control, a Jesus that we can put down and pick up whenever we want, is not the biblical Jesus who brings transformation into our lives. He heals, he restores, he makes us new by his grace. That's what the real Jesus does. This is what Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is an almost new creation. The old has been put to one side and the new pops in every now and then. No, this is what the Word of God says. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. Because the moment that we give our lives to Christ, we become a new creation. Transformed. And here in Cove on this damp Sunday morning, our passion and our desire is, Lord, would you continue to work your transformation in us and through us, that we might reflect you in our community. You see, we can't change this community, but Jesus can. And it's lovely to hear of prayer gatherings, Bible study gatherings. In Bible study, we get to learn more about Jesus. In prayer gatherings, we get to invite Jesus into all of those situations that need to be transformed. What a privilege and honor we have. Are you allowing Jesus to transform you? Are you allowing Jesus to mould you and shape you? That's the question for this morning. Are we settling for inflatable Jesus on this Harvest Sunday? Or are we saying that the Word of God in the book of Matthew is where we are going to find our focus? We are going to seek first. We're going to put Jesus first. And we're going to pursue his kingdom, his righteousness. We're going to ensure that the real Jesus is alive and living in our lives so that the community around us might come to know him as their Lord and Saviour. That's the challenge for us today. Let me read you from Colossians. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. My encouragement on this Harvest Sunday here in Cove: follow the Jesus who is a Lord, who is present, who transforms, and I can assure you, you will be attractive, and the community around us will desire to meet the real Jesus too. Let's pray. So Lord, this morning, we take a hypothetical pin to our inflatable Jesus. We deflate him. We discard him. We say, Jesus, you are Lord of all. We say, Jesus, you are the one who is with us and never leaves us. We say today again, you are the one who brings transformation into our lives. And we welcome you, Jesus. Forgive us when we have sidelined you. Help us to be aware of your constant peace and your presence as we live for your honour and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.